part of our Savior Lutheran Christian School. Went there for a while, and then in Pagosa Christian School. Graduated from high school here. And so thank you, Pagosa Springs, for the education that you've given to our children, particularly to Darren and Shannon. Is Shannon here? Or is she somewhere working? She's next door working. Okay. And then, of course, the Roars brought Tiffany here when they moved. And you know the rest of that story. And so Darren married Tiffany, who was from Pagosa Springs. And now we have three awesome grandchildren. And some of them are with us right here in this room. And it's just such a blessing. So thank you, Pagosa Springs, for pouring into our children's lives. Shannon graduated from high school here. Josh Yeager, Josh and Shannon are being married October the 3rd. And so it's, you know, thank you, Pagosa Springs, for all that you have given to us. In fact, it's one of these days you'll see a thank you in the newspaper, because this city has poured more into our lives because we've lived here longer than any other place in the United States of America. And so thank you, Pagosa Springs. And Sharon's got some thank yous that she wants to give, and I'll let her do that now.
Yay, I get first. I agree. Thank you to all of you and to Pagosa Springs. What a joy it's been to see God's faithfulness and blessing in our lives, especially over the last 25 years. It's been such a joy. Has it been a bed of roses? Yes, because there are thorns in roses. It hasn't all been fun and easy, but has it been good? Absolutely. God purposely puts hard times in our lives because that's how we grow. That's how we come to develop the character that He wants in us. And so all of those times have been good. And each of you, I want to say each one of you, have had a very special place in our lives. Because each one of you have touched us in a special way. And is today kind of emotional for us? Yeah. Because there's lots of good memories, lots of good things that God has done. I do want to mention some special thanks to a few people. And for lack of time, I'm going to have to really limit it. But all of you know the passion that God has put in my heart for inner healing and freedom. Deliverance. Scripture talks about older women teaching younger women the things of the faith and the Word of God. And I don't believe that that necessarily only means chronologically older. I think it can also mean older in the faith, older in certain specific areas of God's truth. And one of the women that God has put in my life, and many of you know her, she doesn't live here, she lives in Colorado Springs now, is Carol Morris. Ron and Carol had a home here for many years, and they would come here on vacation. And she mentored me in many of the truths of spiritual warfare. I grew up not knowing much about spiritual warfare. In fact, it was pretty much taught that that's not a thing for today. And I remember back in 1999, I had just attended my third Cleansing Stream retreat in Anaheim, California, because there wasn't a retreat closer at that time. And Jane, bless her heart, introduced it to me. And when she shared with me the first time, she went, "Yes, I want this." And so we began to do classes together. Went to Anaheim for our retreats. And after the third retreat, God laid it upon my heart to begin the Cleansing Stream Discipleship Training Program. That's a very intense program, and at that time it was a 2-year commitment every week, and it was very intense. And God said, "I want you to start this in Pagosa." And I went, "No way, God, no way, not me. I know nothing about this stuff." He said, "I'm calling you to do this." Did I argue with God? Oh, yeah. For quite a while. Ron and Carol continued to encourage me, and when they would come down, one day I asked to meet with them, and I just said, this is what God's laid on my heart, but there's no way I can do it. And they said, yes, you can. And interestingly enough, I kept telling the Lord, God, I am very inadequate. And I mean, that was in big, capital, bold letters. I am very inadequate. And God led me to Matthew 14. And it was actually a passage that Pastor Eugene just referred to. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. And he told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And he went to spend some time alone with the Father. And then it says on the fourth watch, all of a sudden the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea toward them. They were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And as you know, Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus until he dropped his eyes and looked at where he was. He looked at the circumstances, and he panicked. He had an anxiety attack. And it says he sunk. And he cried out, and he said, Jesus, save me. And Jesus did. That was the scripture God took me to. He said, Sharon, I'm calling you to step out of the boat. What many of you don't know about me, and I see Lisa grinning because she knows this, is that I do not enjoy water. I like the water as long as I know my feet can touch something solid and it doesn't come this far above my head. I mean, I need to have my head out of water. I do not enjoy being under the water. Jesus said, I want you to get out of the boat in the ocean. And I'm going, God, I can't. He said, yes, you can, as long as you keep your eyes on me. Don't look at your circumstances. Keep your eyes on me. And I went, okay, God, we're in this together, right? He said, yes. And the rest is history. Many of you have been touched by what God has done in your lives through the Cleansing Stream Ministry, through the Restore the Foundations Ministry that God has led us into, through inner healing, through deliverance, through deep healing that God wants to do in your lives. He's teaching me. He's still teaching me to trust him all the way. Especially now, it's like we're stepping out of the boat again into a new season. And we're going, God, I don't know what this looks like. He goes, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Keep your eyes on me, and you'll walk on the water. Don't look at your circumstances, or you'll sink. So in part of that, I do want to especially thank, the Deep Freedom Prayer Ministry team that I have. And here I will get weepy, because these people have been my support. Lori and Jane Thompson, thank you. Clint and Lisa, thank you. Gary and Arliss, thank you. Mike and Susie, thank you. Brad and Teresa, I may not be able to lay my eyes on all of you when I name you. Brad and Teresa, thank you, thank you. Jody and Barbara Ellis, Dave and Robbie Parker, thank you, thank you, thank you. Judy Schmidt. Then I think way back, George and Jan Love. Thank you, guys. You have been there for me all the way. Lisa Burgess is part of our group. I think way back to the beginning, the very first class, Rod Ray. Jim and Nancy Smith, Stan and Linda Gill. You guys were strengths for me. You have been my Aaron and Hur. What do I mean by that? In Exodus chapter 17, it's a story of where the Amalekites came and they fought with Israel. And Moses told Joshua, go choose men to go fight. And then Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. And as long as Moses held his arms up, Israel was winning the battle. But have you ever tried to hold your arms up for 24 hours at a time? He got tired. When he let his arms down, the Amalekites were winning the battle. Aaron and Hur stepped up, one on each side of Moses, and said, Moses, we're going to hold your arm up. They held his arms up, and Israel won the battle. These guys have been my Aaron and Hur. There have been many times I've said, I'm too tired. I can't go on. I can't keep doing this. It's too hard. And they've come alongside me and said, yes, you can. We're holding your arms. We're praying for you. We're supporting you. We're encouraging you. Thank you, guys. I could not have done this without you. I would not be where I am today with you guys. John Mark and Ramona Barbara, thank you for what you've done in my life, the input you've had, the love you've given me, the prophetic support. These guys flew in from South Carolina just for today. Wow, what friends. Hector and Noemi, I don't know where you are. Thank you, thank you. What a blessing it's been for you to come alongside us as pastors of the Spanish church. What a blessing it's been the way you have poured into that community, within our community. Thank you for being there, for supporting and loving us. We are so grateful you're here. All of the elders and their wives, Mark and Becky, Ben and Linda, Greg and Linda, Dave and Robbie now, Justin and Tara, and many years, Jim and Nancy, Rod and Nancy were part of that team. What a blessing. They have stood with us. They've supported us. They've prayed with us through the hard times, been there to support us. Benny Lohman, you are my hero. I keep saying, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Your sweet spirit, your sweet smile, your love, your positive attitude, thank you. We love you and we need you. I know you're 96, but it's okay to live quite a while longer. Okay. Bob Bigelow, your tenaciousness. I love that. I do. I like people like you, because that's the way I am. I love your tenaciousness. I love your heart for the youth. You have poured into the youth of our community in amazing ways. Your heart has been to see these guys make something of themselves. You have poured and poured your heart into them. We need you. Don't go away, okay? I don't know if Paul and Esai made it today. Esai fell a number of weeks ago and has been very, very ill. But many of you know them. They have been a part of our lives from the very beginning. As they took our little Shannon and babysat her when I had to work in the office and just took her in as their own. They've been a special part of our lives and always will be. And then Al has already mentioned, but I want to say thank you to our family, to my kids. Cheryl and Baron, thank you for being here for 6 years. What a blessing it's been for us to have you here It's the first time that we'd really had, since we moved here, that Sherilyn was in close proximity to us. She was always away. And so it's been fun having them here. It's been such a delight. And they've helped us in so many ways during this time, and especially during this transition and all of that. Darren and Tiffany, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can't do it without your love, your support. It's been incredible. Thank you. Jazzy, we love you. And Levi and Titus, what special, special kids we have. Shannon and Josh, what a blessing. What a blessing they've been in our lives. Thank you for all of your love, your support. You know, we couldn't have done it without our family. And I yesterday my girls came over and helped me cook all day. And as I watched how they worked together, there was such a sweetness. No arguing, no bickering, not saying, well, this is the way I think it should be. No, there's just a unity and a working together. And I just went, thank you, Jesus, for the family that you've given us. What a loving, loving family we have. What a blessing it's been to us. And many, many others of you. You have touched my life personally in some way. I want you to know that. And I am very grateful. I wish I could name all of you. But I need to give Al a little bit of time too. So I just want to say thank you, and I love you all.
All right. Life is good, and it's going to get gooder. Yeah. I just want to ditto. If I could, I just want to ditto everything Sharon said, but there's no need for you to hear it twice. And so this is a very significant time for us, obviously. When I think of God's faithfulness, and that's what I want to talk about, I want to define faithfulness first. Faithfulness is a strict or thorough performance of duty. Faithfulness, these are adjectives, descriptive words, strict or thorough performance of duty. We use the phrase a faithful worker. Faithfulness is one who is true to his word, her word, true to the promises, true to the vows, true to the commitments. Yeah. Faithfulness is one who is steady in allegiance or affection, who is loyal, constant. We use the phrase a faithful friend. A faithful person is reliable, trusted, believed. A faithful one adheres to truth, to the fact, to the standard. A faithful one is accurate. A faithful account, a faithful copy. All of these things describe the faithfulness of our God and the faithfulness of God's people. As I was studying this, I was thinking and I asked myself the question, how can I learn to trust more in the faithfulness of God? How can I learn to trust more in the faithfulness of God? Many places in Scripture, the Scriptures bring to light the faithfulness of God. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, I've just hung on to this for dear life. That's what it says, Lamentations, if you want to look that up. Lamentations 3, 22, Mario 23. Because of the Lord's great love, because of the Lord's great love, coming back to that love picture again, we are not consumed, Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, but his compassions never fail. If we are truly faithful to God, as God is faithful to us, our compassions never fail. We join God in that compassionate activity of life. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Wow. Every morning we see the sun come up, if you're a sunriser watcher. You see the sun come up and you say, God, I bless you for another beautiful day. We see a friend who's been faithful, and you say, thank you. The Hebrew word translated faithfulness means steadfastness, firmness, fidelity. Steadfastness, firmness, fidelity. The opposite of being faithful is to be ever-changing. Wishy-washy. In Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90, this is what it says. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Yes, God. The faithfulness of our God standing true through all generations. Here, faithfulness in this Psalm 119, faithfulness is equated with God's word. God speaks never-ending truth. Never-ending truth. Never-ending. So can I trust in the faithfulness of my God? Yes. He is faithful to his word because his word is an expression of his character. God is always, 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 always faithful to his word because it's an expression of his character. The promises God has made still hold true because he does not change. Malachi 3:6, God never changes. There's no change with God. When we study God's word, there's a certain pattern that emerges when we study God's word as it relates to faithfulness. We learn that God never changes. He never lies. Numbers 23:19. God cannot lie. He's not a man. He can't lie. He always speaks the truth. We learn through Scripture that God has never failed in the past. I want to look this one up because this is so significant. I love this. I turn to this often. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 verse 6. This is what it says, Isaiah 51, 6. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. Okay. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Look on the earth beneath. Look to the heavens. Look to the earth beneath. And the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment. And those who dwell in it die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever. Isn't that awesome? Look at that. My salvation will be forever. My righteousness, God says, will not be abolished. Everything, here's an encouragement for you. Everything that we are performing, doing, acting out, living out in our behavior in this life on planet Earth, everything in the power of the righteousness of God and the character and nature of God, everything will do exactly that. It will never be abolished. John Mark and Ramona, all of those prayers you've had and still have for Pagosa Springs, prophetic words, the unfulfilled ones are still at the throne, waiting for angelic orders coming from the right hand of God to be fulfilled. Pagosa Springs is today, in part, because of people like you. You're not the only ones. but you people like you. And I say, thank you. Because what God is doing is unfolding the salvation. And then salvation doesn't just mean fire insurance. It means to bring the righteousness of God into the location in which we live. God is always true to his word. He worked in our lives as he did with the ancient Israelites. And so he could say, my righteousness will not be abolished. My word will stand forever. In fact, as Jesus almost quoted this in Matthew 24 when he said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words, says Jesus, my words, plural, will by no means pass away. Another place in Scripture says every jot and tittle, every little marking from the Hebrew text is going to be fulfilled. God says, my word will not, cannot, will not return unto me void, empty. Yeah. Amazing, 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 amazing. God's faithfulness. I might embarrass you a little bit, but my near-to-be son-in-law, Josh Yeager, is here. Josh, I just want to say to you, as I've been talking to you about the things that you talk to God about, I know, because I know, because I know, he will fulfill your dreams. His word stands. And as you learn to grow in him more, it will come more and more and more. And by the way, you've got a good helpmate. Yeah. Some more scriptures. I want to just comma here for a minute. I've got to go over here. Sean and Kid O'Reilly. Back in the early 90s, Sean, you and I were introduced to each other somehow. I don't remember how, but you were, pardon me, upholstery job. That was it, wasn't it? Sean had an upholstery shop in Durango, started that business. I went in there. I needed the seat of my pickup truck reupholstered. That was it. Now I remember. We started talking about the Lord. Long story short, I invited him to come to lead a men's retreat at Snow Wolf Lodge, early 90s. And I asked him to speak on spiritual warfare. I hesitated to ask him because I wasn't even sure what I believed about it. But it was an awesome retreat. And from that point on, Sean, you brought into my life an understanding of how to function in this world in spiritual warfare and be a victorious one. Yes, Sean, you are the man. You're the man who led me into that. That faith. Thank you. The Holy Spirit did, yes, I know, but he had to use you. Thank you. And Kit, thank you. Yeah. 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 I couldn't be the man I am today without that, Sean. Thank you. Here's some more scriptures. The faithfulness of God. Again, we're pointing to the faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow. Psalm 36:5, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 89:8, O Lord God of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are. Who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? Psalm 119:90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. I love this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It matters little. It matters little the trauma, the crisis, the problems, the issues of life that we face when we focus on the faithfulness of God. It matters little how difficult life may be or can be or will be when we focus on the faithfulness of God. If we look at and focus on the faithfulness of man, our husband or wife, our children or whatever, we'll always be disappointed. Always. This is a good marriage counsel, by the way. If you put your trust in your spouse to bring you fulfillment, forget it. Get over it. It isn't going to happen. You put your trust in God and his faithfulness through your spouse and let your spouse grow up in God the way you need to grow up in God, then you'll come together. I don't know who that's for, but that's for somebody. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tried above your ability, but with the temptation, with the trial, it's the same word, he will also provide the way of escape. The way of escape from what? Being offended. Being whatever. He will give you a way of escape that you may be able to endure it, the trial, the test. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. God says, I will guard you, but you need to participate with me and submit to what I am and who I am. And if you do that, I'll guarantee you I got your rear guard. Yeah. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, full of faith. The most faithful person is God himself. The one who is full of the most faith is God himself. His faithfulness. I want to read to you something from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from the electronic text. And this is from the Modern English Version. You remember several weeks ago, those of you who heard my message on Ecclesiastes 3, yeah, we talked about there's a time for everything, and it was in the context of God is showing to Sharon and I the time that it is for us to move into this next season of our life. And incidentally, we're going to be full-time missionaries now, raising support, believe it or not. First time in my life I've ever had to do that. This is interesting. And interesting, I want to say this right up front. I do not want to take any missionary support from this church. You need to support your missionaries, your real other missionaries. And speaking of the faithfulness of God concerning missions, I want to share with you something. I did a little study, and this church in 25 years has given over $2.5 million to missions. Yes. Now, it hasn't come out of budget, because our budgets were never big enough. But you kept feeding into it, in supporting missionaries, more and more and more and more and more. It's over 2.5 million. I don't know the exact number in 25 years. That was an encouragement to me. Look at this. This is verse 9, Ecclesiastes 3. What benefit does the worker have in his toil? I have seen the task that God has given to the sons of men to be concerned with. He has made everything beautiful in its appropriate time. Notice God did not say here through Solomon, he has made everything beautiful in his appropriate time. No. He said its appropriate time. There is an appropriate time for everything to come to fulfillment and completion. And to start new things. He has also, and get this, he has also put obscurity in their hearts. God has put obscurity in our hearts so that no one comes to know the work that God has done from the beginning to the end. God puts obscurity in our hearts. He hides from us our faithfulness to him. Wouldn't it be fun? I argue with God almost every day. And I say, God, couldn't you just show me a little glimpse of what my faithfulness looks like to you? Wouldn't it be fun? I argue with God almost every day. And I say, God, couldn't you just show me a little glimpse of what my faithfulness looks like to you? You'd get something worse. Yeah. So I want to encourage you with this. Because God is faithful, and because we choose, as the followers of God, to be absolutely 100% faithful to him, then what happens? One day, when we stand before Jesus Christ, and interestingly enough, in Ecclesiastes, the last verse, see if I can turn to it. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the last verse of Solomon's writing, his journal, if you please. He says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the will of all, for this is man's all. What is your all to be? Your all to be is to fear God, period. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. If that doesn't make you a little bit shaky in your boots, nothing will. But God is faithful. It's not up to you to make sure you get a reward. You be honored. It's not up to you. It's not up to me to be honored. It's not up to Sharon and I to be. No, it's up to God. And I'll let God do the honor one day. But I fear God, lest I be found unfaithful. Lest I be found one who is inconsistent with my word. One who is not steady in my allegiance, one who is not loyal or constant, one who is not reliable, trusted, or believed in. Darren, that's why you have so many friends. Because everyone who knows you knows you're reliable. You're trustworthy. Thank you for learning that. Yeah. And Tiffany, you're a great help to that. You support him and all of that, and you yourself are that woman of integrity. Support him. Yeah. And Baron, it's always amazing to me how you can find something that you know nothing about, go on the internet, find out the information, and talk to me as if you know everything about it. It's amazing to me. That's a gift from God. Bless you. And I know Cheryl and if I want to know how my watch was made, I just ask Baron. And even if he doesn't know, he will make me believe that he knows. That's a gift. That's a gift. Isn't it, Brock? Yeah. Those of you who know Baron, he just ask him a question, but he'll tell you. He knows. But that's a gift. That's a gift. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, the missions that it's gone through this church. I think 1 year, over $300,000 went to special interest ministries back when we were fat. The fat years. We're a forerunner church. Thank you. You know, Sharon talked about starting Cleansing Stream and starting other ministries, and we're not done because we're an apostolic sending church. New things are going to constantly be born and birthed and more sent out, more. Where's Hector and Naomi? There you are. Last night when I saw that crowd of people and you were ministering to them at your church service, it was such a tremendous encouragement to me. And I know, both of you know, I will always be your pastor. Always. And support you in your work. Thank you for what you are doing. Yeah, what you have done. I need to speak a couple of words here. I'm just going to randomly speak to a few folks. I wish I could speak into all of your lives, but I only have 7 minutes. I have 7 minutes and a trap door opens and I disappear. For all the promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Thank you, John Harper. You taught me how to understand the prophetic. Thank you. For all the promises of God, hold on to this for yourself. For all the promises that God has for you, they are yes. And they are amen. So be it. To the glory of God. Through you. Through you. Through you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Pastor Eugene, where are you? There you are. That's for you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He can't. He can't go against His nature because He's faithful. God bless you. Psalm 37:4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Ramona, Barbara, and John Mark, that's for you. Psalm 37:4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He's faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. George and Jan, that's for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. George, I know there's times when you think you're over your head. God says, no. Not even close yet. Yeah, He's called you to something. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Isaiah 26:3. God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I will keep him in perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God because he trusts in God. I'm not sure who that's for. If it's for you, raise your hand. Okay? Claim it, Arliss. Claim it. Claim it. Okay. 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 Isaiah 26:3. No, that's what I just gave. Second Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Lucas, that's for you. Second Corinthians 9:8. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Martin, that's yours. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Martin and Lindsay. Yeah. Here's one for the elders. I picked this out ahead of time. Acts 20, 27 and 28. For I have not shunned to deliver to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church, and I speak to you today. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the flock of God, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. There's a young couple here celebrating their anniversary from Grand Junction area. That's for you. That's for you today. Yeah. Tanya and Jason, is that right? I remembered. They were here a year ago celebrating their wedding anniversary, and as soon as they walked in, I knew I remembered them. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Mitch and Pat, this is for you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will on your behalf. And God cannot lie. Trust him. He's faithful. I went a minute over it. Will you forgive me? Worship team, come. Worship team, come. I am more excited about the faithfulness of God today than I've ever been in my life. And you know what the key has been? The key is prayer and worship. Prayer and worship, prayer and worship, prayer and worship, prayer and worship, prayer and worship. What's the key? What's the key? Yeah. It is because of prayer that we are where we are today. It's because of worship. Why worship? Because when we worship, and music is just part of what worship is, but when we worship this hour every Sunday morning, when we do that, what does God do? He's promised, because he's faithful, to give us revelation about everything that needs to take place in our life for that day, for that moment, for that week, for that hour, for that whatever. God is faithful. And when he gives us revelation, then we stand together with him in the callings, the gifts and callings that he's given to us, because he is faithful. He is faithful. The best thing we can do is get over ourselves. The best thing, the most important thing we can do is get over ourselves, but never get over God. Recognize how faithful he is. Because God says, even when you are not faithful, I am faithful. Yeah. Another little thing I've said before, and I think I need to say it again for one reason or another. I'm not as mature as I think I am. And that's true of all of us. You know, we put ourselves on this pedestal of maturity that we think we really have. And then we face a crisis, or we face, and something then all of a sudden triggers. And Yeah. Charlie, this is for you. You're a warrior. Finally, Charlie, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Period. Yeah, God's raising up a generation of warriors, powerful warriors. I love it. Can't wait. Ministry team, come on up. And here's what I'm going to do. I think Josh and Shannon had to leave, but Darren and Tiffany, I want you to come up if you can. And Baron and Sherilyn, I want you to come up. Sean and Kit, I want you to come up. Ken and Kathy Coy, I want you to come up. Come on. Ken and Kathy, when we first moved here, they came shortly after, and Kathy was, she started the choir here at church and everything. We had an awesome time. Ken was serving as a deacon, did many things, and then they went and helped Bart Burnett, my favorite pastor friend here in Pagosa Springs, launch Cowboy Church. So thank you for being here. You have something to speak into people's lives. So when you come this morning for ministry, just ask the Lord to give to you who you're supposed to go, which couple you're supposed to go to. They know, they will know ahead of the God's already told them what they're supposed to minister into your life. Just come and receive. John Mark and Barbara, come on. All right, Mark, lead us. This is going to be a great time of celebration as we eat lunch together and amongst other things. Yeah, this is a good day. Father, I just come to you and I thank you for refirement. Thank you for the fire that you put in my soul to be the man of God that you've called me to be. For Sharon and I to be launched. Launched into this season of ministry, wherever you had for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.